C6, number 20A.
You have seen with what we have been doing just right now that the textbook is very scientifically written, has a very scientific structure, that it embodies more laws and exact relationships than we have ever dreamt it would have. But you also see that we would only discover these laws if we really treat the textbook structurally and really interpret the textbook structurally. Otherwise, these laws are always hidden, though they are in the textbook. Which leads us to the next subject I want to take with you and to show that Mrs. Eddy was a scientist of the first order. So I speak to you tonight about Mrs. Eddy as a scientist. I feel to end more or less today already the week. Tomorrow I will do logic. But in order to sum up what we have been doing, it may be good once to remember what is the caliber of Mrs. Eddy. Is Mrs. Eddy a religious leader, a founder of a religion, or is she a scientist? Is Mrs. Eddy a founder of a religion? Is that religion the main aspect of what she has been bringing to the world? Well, we begin to realize more than ever before, just as in this week, that Mrs. Eddy was primarily a scientist and not a founder of a religion. And this in spite that the movement, the church, always speaks in the last few years of the religion of Christian Science. It is as if they want to counteract our rendering of the science of Christian Science by saying, no, the main point is religion. Just as we would say that today we should put more weight on Christianity than on science. We live in the age of science, and therefore we live in the age of science of Christianity, and therefore we must see the place value of Mrs. Eddy as a scientist clearer and clearer. We somehow always have accepted that Mrs. Eddy was bringing us a science and was stating to us a science, but actually over the last 10 years or so we began to realize more and more the many scientific angles and aspects that are hidden in the textbook and we were perhaps not aware of in the earlier ages. It's true that Mrs. Eddy speaks of the theology of Christian Science, but the theology of Christian Science is only a very tiny aspect of her science. Because she not only speaks of the theology of Christian Science, she also speaks of the medicine of Christian Science. So it's the same reason we could say it is not the religion of Christians, it is the religion of Christian Science, we could say it is the medicine of Christian Science. No, what Mrs. Eddy really discovered is something much bigger than just the medicine of science or the theology of Christian Science. We can see that very easily because in the textbook she never urges us to have a religion, to have a church organization. What she urges is actually science and the methodology of a science. The methodology of a science which uses those instruments, those scientific tools like understanding, instruction, teaching, institution of learnings, schools, All that is brought forth in her writing, in her textbook, as the main body of her discovery. Naturally, it's difficult to see somehow that Mrs. Eddy's contribution was a science and not a religion, because she had to use many religious terms, like God, Christ, man, and so on. But we must see that actually what she did with all these religious terms was that she lifted them out of religion into a science. She did not give a better religion. She lifted and translated the religious term out of themselves and presented the religious terms in an overformed way as scientific terms. So if we just run quickly through the four sides, we can see how Mrs. Eddy really, lifted the religious term out of themselves into a scientific terminology. If I would coin a new word, I would say she scientificalized the religious terms. How did she do it? For instance, if we start out from the Word of God, she gave to God a scientific term, namely principle. Said instead of God, we really should speak of principle, and principle includes all the other synonymous terms. Well, principle is a term that belongs to the field of science and no more to the field of religion. So, the term God already was translated into a scientific term. If we take the second side, the Christ, which has a religious connotation, a biblical connotation, there too she scientificalized that term and says, instead of saying Christ, we just could say truth. That's her wording, Christ, truth. Truth naturally is very much a term of science, or she called the Christ really the spiritual idea or the true idea. Idea, again, is a philosophical term and not a religious term. Idea belongs to the philosophy of science and not to religion. In the Bible, the term idea never appears. And if you read theological books, you can read as long as you like. Very seldom, if ever, one will find the term idea. Idea is not a religious term, it is a scientific, philosophical term. And she made naturally that great distinction of distinguishing Christ from Jesus and showing that these two terms are not synonymous, and therefore in this way again, somehow separating the biblical term from the factual term. Or if we take the side of Christianity, man, well, man actually in theology is a very important term. He's really the sinner and the mortal and the bad boy. So all turns around that Adam and the mortal man, and she goes and lifts it out of that religious sense and calls it idea, the compound idea. We even could call it the calculus of idea. Or if we take the whole nature of being, there again, instead of seeing that the biblical and the religious sense is that God created the material universe, Mrs. Eddy came and said for the first time, more or less in human history, that matter is unreal. Well, stating that matter is unreal is a scientific statement. It's not a religious statement, because she has to explain matter away and has to explain why matter is not. Therefore, her whole concept of substance changes from matter substance into spirit substance, and we can see the tremendous mutation that has taken place when she introduced the scientific aspect of the universe. Suddenly, instead of having that biblical sense of a material universe where everything is created by God, where God created the stars and the moon and the sun and the animals and the plants and even mortals, suddenly she put it right into the abstract. The abstract has to do with the philosophy of science and shows that reality is of the nature of spirit, of spiritual idea. Furthermore, what she did is that she took the whole concept of a mortal man, of a sinner, with sin, sickness, and death out of the religious sense and presented suddenly this triad of error as error, and no more as sins, disease, and death. She translated it into a scientific term called error. Error is not a religious term. In the religion you have sin, and you have sickness, and you have death. But she translated it into a scientific term. And then naturally, the fourth side of the city, science, there again we can see that she lifted the concept of belief, of faith, of rituals, of worship, all out of a religious sense and lifted it into a scientific sense. Instead of belief, we have understanding, we have consciousness, we have divine consciousness, spiritual consciousness, and so gave us, instead of faith and belief, the aspect, the scientific aspect of understanding. So I feel already in this way, she is to be regarded as a scientist and not as the founder of a better religion, though naturally, just as we have seen, religion is one aspect of the science, but not the only aspect, not the main aspect, but just one aspect of the many, many aspects. Well, having stated so much, I will take up another point about Mrs. Eddy as a scientist, and would like to show really what kind of a scientist Mrs. Eddy was, because this becomes more and more a main issue in the thinking of today. What kind of scientist was Mrs. Eddy? Because there are many definitions of science, and we know that the definition of science changes practically every 10 years, that it changed from the 19th century very much to the 20th century, that the 19th century concept of science is something very different from the 20th century concept of science. But Mrs. Eddy lived mostly in the 19th century, and therefore the question is, was she a 19th century scientist or not? Well, if we take her textbook and analyze with what scientific method she used, we can see actually that she used very much the 19th century concept of a science. Because what is the 19th century concept of a science? That concept that we have been taught in school. Because we all went to school at the time, with, I think, very few examples, exceptions here, who have already had a more modern education, but we all, more or less, were educated in the 19th century sense of science, that sense which used the classical logic, for instance, the old good classical logic of two values. And Mrs. Eddy also uses that logic. She uses the old sense of science that was building on reason, and therefore she says reason is the most human faculty. She gives to reason a good place, the right place. She uses the method of classical science of deduction and induction. All that is used in her writing. She used syllogisms according to the old logic. She used then the law of cause and effect. So much is according, if this is the cause, then the effect must be so and so. This is also typical for the old sense of science. She uses typically analysis, uncovering, as a method of science, of classical science. She is also using the specific truth, therefore isolated truth, atomistic truth. They too have a place in her teaching. But also the practical application of science is brought out very often, that she says, I made experiments. She said, I tested my findings. I tried to find a proof of my statements, so that statement would lead to proof. It was asking to apply science. We know that the 19th century was a pragmatic science. It had to work, so to say. That was the most important thing about the science, that it had to work, and that it had to work in practical experience. So all that is typical for 19th century science, and Mrs. Eddy made use of it. But is that all that characterizes Mrs. Eddy as a science? That's the great question. Is that all? Now, you know, or you may remember, I quickly repeat it from last year, we were contemplating how a revolution in science takes place. And we have seen that science always goes through revolutions. Every century, every part of a century, every generation nearly now goes through revolutions. And we have seen that we could somehow classify the various stages of that revolution with Thomas Kuhn's terminology, where he showed that we always are in a general sense at the point of normal science with a paradigm that we have accepted. But then he says, then comes usually the experience of an anomaly, you remember, and that anomaly leads us to a new paradigm. That new paradigm then demands for what he calls extraordinary science. Therefore, a new science, that is not the same as normal science. He calls it extraordinary science. And that little by little, this new paradigm with the extraordinary science is accepted by the world, and after a generation or two, that extraordinary science is accepted so much that it becomes common use, becomes again normal science, and the whole rhythm starts all over again. Now, what kind of a scientist was Mrs. Eddy? Was she really a normal scientist, a representative of normal science? Or was she, at her age, in the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, a representative of a new paradigm, therefore of extraordinary science? And if yes, what constitutes that extraordinary science, that new paradigm? This is the question we have to ask, because superficially seen, it sounds as if Mrs. Eddy was just a typical 19th century classical normal scientist. And we have accepted that. And it's quite interesting to see in the literature of today that is supported by Boston that they try more and more to bring to the forefront that Mrs. Eddy's concept of science was just pragmatic, that it was typical for the last century, that actually her concept of science was just experimental, they say, rather than rationalistic, that it was far from rigorously systematic, that she does not seek to resolve intellectually some of the paradoxes that appear, that she was not able to reduce Christian science to a closed metaphysical system. Can you hear what they say? They begin to attack Mrs. Eddy's concept of science. That is, they don't attack it, they just put it right back into the 19th century and say, well, naturally, Mrs. Eddy was a child of her age, naturally, so therefore she was thinking the way 19th century scientists were thinking. But now, naturally, today, we are living in the 20th century, and now, naturally, the concept of science is different, but Mrs. Eddy didn't know a thing about it. That's the tone that goes right through, that they deny, really, that it was a structured book, that science and health had an unstructured quality, but that it was made workable as a religious book. Can you hear it? That it was workable as a religious book, but not as a structured book, meaning really that she had a practice without the right theory. And we know that the practice without the right theory is the most impractical thing we can think of. And so even she says, they say, therefore, that the statements can easily be lifted out of the context and stand on their own. Can you see that old sense? That you can take any paragraph and consider it alone as if there would be nothing before or after. This is the old concept of science. And if we are not awakened to the new concept of science, we are falling into the same trap as these people here now are trying to attack Mrs. Eddy's scientificalness of the textbook. Yes. So, what are the anomalies? What are the anomalies that Mrs. Eddy really was seeing? And I think there are many, and I just can't just enumerate them one by one, but I want to talk rather at length today about the new aspect of science that is already in the textbook, so that actually Mrs. Eddy was what? That she was a forerunner in the 19th century for that concept of science, you see, which is only coming to the surface today, that she was a terrific forerunner of the extraordinary science that only now is being brought into the forefront of scientific thinking. She could see some anomalies anyway, and perhaps one of them was, but I shouldn't really say one of them because I want to talk at length about it, that the spiritual alone is real. That was one thing. And therefore, and this is one thing, that miracles are actually laws of a higher order. Well, the old sense of science would never have accepted that. Miracles were just not fitting into their concept of science, and therefore were not the subject of investigation. Whereas Mrs. Eddy said, no, exactly, just that is the thing. That miracles are the thing we should investigate, because they do not happen by chance. Therefore, behind it must be a higher order of science. A higher order of science, the science of ideas. And in this way, she began to open her thought to a completely new sense of science, to what today we could therefore call extraordinary science, in which really the concepts of the 20th century were anticipated in the textbook, and actually we should read the textbook with the 20th century extraordinary science concept. What is one other aspect of the 20th century concept? The 20th century's concept does no more exclusively rely on reason as a means for discovering new laws. That the new concept of science allows a place for intuition, for enlightenment, for revelation, and we know very well that many or most of the great discoveries that have been made in the field of science were due to such intuition, that intuition gave a clue to the people, to the scientists. Furthermore, the new concept of science is a structural concept, and therefore not just an atomistic or linear rational concept that you reason linearly from cause to effect in a rational way, but that the new concept of science is actually structure, and that we have a structured concept in the textbook.